Morning, ladies. I don't want to lean, so I'm just going to arrange this. Can you hear me? If I'm standing here, I'm going to have to stand still. That's going to be difficult. I might start twitching. Welcome back for those of you who came last night, and welcome for the first time for those of you who couldn't make last night. It's really nice to see you. Hope you enjoyed your breakfast and you've got your corsages on. Fantastic. I'm Kim. I worship at this church with my family, been here about 12 years. And it is a huge blessing to us that there are folks from other churches here. I love that about this event, that it can be a time of unity. So if you have come from another church, thank you from the bottom of my heart, and Prue too. It's wonderful to see you. And that's great. So last night, I don't want to do too much of a recap because a lot of you here last night. But last night, I shared a little bit about the vision behind what we felt God was speaking over this weekend for you ladies. And I talked about these corsages, which were made by Wendy and her team. And they're fab, aren't they? I love them. And I'm hoping they'll be a keepsake for you. I'm hoping that God will speak to you, or maybe has already spoken to you, and that you'll pin this on a notice board somewhere. And whenever you look at it, it will remind you of the way that God calls you out and into new things. But they weren't just for decoration. They're wedding corsages, because this isn't a ladies' conference. It's a wedding. And I introduced that idea last night because Song of Songs is actually a marriage poem. And it was written by Solomon. And the irony of that isn't lost on me. I hope it's not lost on you. Who, though the wisest king that Israel ever had, and perhaps the wisest leader there has ever been, ended his days away from God because of his love for women. And I think it reminds us that there is one thing that keeps us looking straight forward, one thing that keeps us on the straight path, on the one path, because there is a way, isn't there, with God? There is one way, and that is God himself and nothing else. But he wrote this in his wise days, and for millennia, people have taught that it's not just about earthly marriage, but it is, in fact, a story that explains the love that God has for his covenant people. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament, that was the people of Israel, but through Jesus, there is a true church, and that is anybody who believes. And we can call those people the people of promise, and that echoes right back to Abraham. So the people that are true church are the people of promise. They are people who have heard the words of God expressed in Jesus and have believed them. And so this song, this poem, and I can commend it to you, it is an absolutely beautiful book. Not just these verses, but the whole book is a love song that God sings over his people. And I know when I was writing this, I know that there are some of you that will find that hard to accept. And what I wanted to do first off was to just have a look at the concept of marriage in the Bible in terms of it being spoken over you as a bride and God as the bridegroom. Because I think some of us, for different reasons, might say, I am sinful and God is good, and he doesn't speak over us like that. He speaks over the church like that, but over the individual, you might think it's gushy or too girly, maybe. Or maybe you have guilt and shame and think you could never be the bride that is described in Song of Songs. So before we read the verses that I'm going to look at, and it's just these verses that are behind you, I want to look at the metaphor of marriage as the way God loves you. Individually, you see your name tags have each of your names on them. And when they're on the table, they were a collection, a community of women. But God sees and loves each name in a crowd. And the community is special because each individual is special. And so right from the very beginning, God made two from one and made togetherness. Did he not, with Adam and Eve? Made two from one, which was in his image. And yet there was a divorce of kinds, wasn't there? A separation from each other and from God when Eve and Adam disobeyed the command of God. And ever since, the bridegroom has been trying to make a way for a new marriage to take place. And the story of the prophets over and over again, and really that's what the prophets did, many, many pictures to explain one message from God, is that he is the bridegroom, and that people who are unbelieving and rebellious are like adulterous wives. That was already in the prophets. And then you move on to the gospel and you have Jesus, whose very first miracle was at a wedding, where he turned water for the cleansing of hands into wine. And 3 years later, he took wine in a cup and said that it was the blood of cleansing, not just for hands, but for hearts. And in that room where his new people of promise, they were new people of promise because they had moved into his message, out of the old covenant and into his message, were gathered together, he took the wine and said, "Remember me." It was a sign of the covenant. A covenant is a promise. He says, "Here's my promise to my people of promise. This is the new promise I'm making." And much like this ring that I'm wearing is nothing on its own. It's not even expensive. We got married a while ago. I don't even know what metal it is. It's just a piece of metal on my ring. And yet invested in it are all the promises that I have made to my husband. And every time I look at it and play with it, I am reminded, even in his absence. And when we share the cup of wine over and over again throughout your life, you are looking at a wedding ring. It's your sign of the covenant. It's nothing of itself. It is just wine, except invested in it when you take it are all the promises that you make to a heavenly bridegroom. And then later, you move a little bit later on in history, you have the apostles, the people that Jesus commissioned to spread his message, to take his message to the world. And what did they teach? They taught that earthly marriage was just a whisper of a divine union that was going to come. Paul taught that the mystery between a man and a wife getting together on earth was nothing in comparison to what God was going to do with us one day when all things have ended and the new things come to pass when Jesus returns. And the Apostle John, who was there the very first time the cup of wine got passed around, leaning on the breast of Jesus, in his old age, saw on the island of Patmos, he saw the bride coming down spotless to meet her amazing bridegroom. So I wanted to go through that so that you had a foundation of understanding that it is not Song of Songs alone that tells you that God is pursuing you like a bridegroom pursues his bride. It is embedded in Scripture. It is sure and solid. So what is it that Song of Songs teaches us about God as the lover of our souls that those other scriptures we've mentioned doesn't? Because wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples where Jesus expounded every single scripture and how it explained and pointed towards himself? Oh, to have been there. And what a conversation I'll have with them one day when I meet them. And we know that every page you turn whispers his name. And what we want to know is what Song of Songs tells us about him and the love he has for us as a bridegroom that other pages of the Bible do not. So I'm going to be reading. You can see it up here above me. So if you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. But you can turn, if you like, to chapter 2. And it's just three verses that I'm going to be reading. 10 to 13. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, and the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land, and the fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." This word, lover, darling, this name that he speaks over his people. Remember, we've already set a precedent that we don't believe that it's just about a man and a woman, but about God and his bride, the people of promise. So this name that God speaks over the people of promise, that's you, Jeanette and Audrey. That's me. That's everybody that you know who believes in Christ that you can't see. That's all the men and all the women through time and space that have committed their lives to him. He calls lover. or darling, depending on what translation you've got. Do you know that that word only occurs 10 times in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word? 9 of them are in this book, Song of Songs. 9 of them. 9 times God calls his bride to be darling, my lover. And I think there we have a message from God already in 4 words. If you want to know what Song of Songs teaches you about the way that God deals with people, his people, is that he calls you darling, lover, beautiful one, whether you feel like it or not. Now, the mystery is, how can that be? Because I know that you all know yourselves quite well, better than anybody on the outside of you does. And you see all the ways that you're wrong and broken, all the thoughts that you shouldn't have, all the things that you know you shouldn't do but do anyway. How can that person be the bride? You see, it is very easy, if you have met Jesus, to pick up Song of Songs and believe the declarations it speaks about the bridegroom. Because if you're like me, the love you have for Jesus, because you've met him, burns in your heart like a fire. And when you read of who the bridegroom is, you say, yes, he is that to me. Yes, he is powerful. Yes, he is my protector. Yes, he will never, ever leave me. Those things are easy to believe about God. After all, he is God. But the things that are harder to believe, and because Song of Songs is full of them, are the things that the bridegroom speaks over the bride. Now, I had a dream about a week ago. I had a dream that I was walking about. It was actually a nightmare. I was walking about, and I looked down at my nails, and one looked a bit funny, and I started to touch it. And as I touched it, it peeled off, and underneath was rotting flesh. It was horrendous. I can still see it in my mind's eye. And I started to panic. And then as I touched all the nails, they all fell off. And what was left was rotten, putrefying flesh on my fingers. And I started to run and try and get the nails to go back on and cover up the fact that my hands were rotting away. And when I woke up, I could not shake the feeling of foulness and panic. Have you ever felt like that? Teeth falling out, dreams? Dreams where you're naked somewhere, you should have a lot of clothes on. Yeah. And you can't shake it when you wake up, can you? It lasts. And that image of my nails was in my head, rotting flesh. And the truth of the matter is that that is who I am on one account. That is who I am on one account. Without God, we are lost and alone. And the brokenness in us, the sin ultimately leads to death, to rotting flesh. There's no hope in it. I am the girl with rotten hands. Everything I touch would become rotten were it not for the cross of Christ. And the miracle of what he did on the cross was that in your life, God has cradled decay and redemption. And that revelation is what allows you to understand that you are indeed darling. And that these verses do indeed speak over you. You are Beauty and the Beast. And that you are both is a wellspring of praise to God who has done that in your life for you. On the final wedding day, when he comes back, it is not the beast who will rise to meet him in the air and walk down the aisle. It's the beauty. And the thing that the Bible teaches is that you were sanctified when you came to believe in Christ, but you are being sanctified. And until the moment you meet him and are transformed into his likeness, you will be Beauty and the Beast. But then you will be only beauty as he is. Only beauty. And understanding that in your life you can be both is what it means to be both humble and confident. You know how Paul says, you do not have a spirit of timidity and fear, but of boldness. To recognize that you were born sinful and would carry on that way were it not for the voice of the bridegroom calling out to you into your winter is the mystery of the cross. It is faith that walks you down the aisle to a husband who will never leave you, never forsake you, never hurt you, never reject you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And by faith, we hold on to these promises in the now, not just for the day that is to come. In the now, it is by faith that you believe that he calls you bride when you are still beast. But he doesn't stop at darling, does he? Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And those were the verses that attracted us and rose up in our spirits about this weekend, that he doesn't just call you beautiful one, he says, come. The understanding that you are beloved, that you are heaven's darlings, calls you into action in this life. In this life. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, and flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land, and the fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. There are many kinds of winters in our lives, are there not? The word of God, you will never reach the depths. There are many levels on which God speaks to us. There are many winters in our lives. There's the winter of unbelief, like C.S. Lewis's Winter in Narnia, brought about by the White Witch. Frozen solid the land was until the thawing of belief comes. And maybe some of you here can remember the day you moved from winter to spring at the sound of the bridegroom's voice. Come. The very last books of Revelation, come. And we in turn say, come, Lord Jesus, don't we? And you move from the winter of unbelief into the spring of belief, a time of fruitfulness. What was barren in unbelief, those parts of you that were perhaps not so desirable, God can use for his good, which is a miracle. And I remember the singing that sprung up in my soul during that time. If you remember the time you moved from winter to spring. And don't you know that all heaven sings when one sinner hears the voice of the bridegroom? There's winters of suffering and pain. And yet, for the people of promise, there is always spring coming in pain, in loss, in grief, in barrenness. The bridegroom says, in your winter of suffering, I'm always calling you out. I'm always calling you out. You never have always winter to face. In your life, winters of trial will finish and growth will come forth. And then, of course, there's the final winter. A final winter for the people of God is death. All in this room will experience a final winter. Some have already been touched by the final winter of those they have loved. Except the glory of the final winter is the glory of the spring that comes in its wake. And then it will be forever spring. No more tears, no more death, no more decay. And this you have to look forward to. And as I was pondering the beauty of how God calls us out from our misery, I was reminded of all the women that have gone before us. You have a legacy, such a rich legacy and a heritage from the very first women that responded to the voice of the bridegroom. You know, when we look at the gospel, what you see first are the men that responded to the voice of the bridegroom, because this is a message for the church, not just for ladies. It's not a girly girl message. Although, you know what? You have a gift to be able to understand it and pass on the vision because you were made female. But you see the men transformed from fishermen into fishers of men. But if you look at the lines, you will see multitudes of women. Multitudes of broken women made beauties in their lives. You see Mary Magdalene, out of whom 7 demons were cast. You see the woman at the well who had had 5 husbands and wasn't living with the man she was married to currently. You see Joanna, wife of the chief of Herod's household. What a place to come from. And do you know Susanna, Mary, mother of Jesus, Mary and Martha, many, many women. And do you know that the Gospels record that it was the women that provided for Christ out of their own needs? It is the women that traveled with him from Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem, back and forward, and provided for the bridegroom out of their own needs. They responded to the call. I am not just beast, but in you I am beauty also. And were they not beautiful? I love their stories. I love their stories. And in the same way, God calls you out into a legacy of women who have been called out of winter and into spring. Whatever he's told you to do, do it. Wherever he tells you to go, go. Because I can testify that there is no one who can love you like he does. No one. No one will love you like this God loves you. And it will change your life. I'm going to pray. And then Jess is going to come up and lead a time of worship. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. And it is so good to call you husband. I pray that you would awaken in us a love so fierce and so passionate that we can provide for others out of our abundance in you. I pray that the ladies here would be a group of women that can minister to those about the business of God, that can minister to those and bring them in to relationship with you. Father, I thank you for your overwhelming love, your outrageous passion towards us. Who are we that you are mindful of us? What is man here today and gone tomorrow? And yet you have set your sights upon us and have pursued us relentlessly at great cost to yourself. And at the cross, we have found a doorway to everything we ever needed. Father, I thank you that we are both beauty and beast, and that in your miraculous power, you have drawn us to yourself. I ask that you would keep these ladies, that you would bless them, that you would make your face to shine upon them, that your love would transform their lives, that it would mobilize them. Father, that they would rise up out of the dust and put on the wedding dress that waits hanging in the wardrobe for them. We love you, God, and we love you some more. Amen.